If we haven't met, my name is Mike, and so excited to be here with you this morning. We're starting a new series, like Pastor Justin just said, called The Way, and it actually reminds me of a time that I lost my way physically in the car. So it was about 2009. I was at the end of my college career. I was dating my wife, who is from here on the Eastern Shore, but I'm a transplant here. So I was from Pittsburgh. Yeah, I've got another transplant, so that's good. You know, power to the transplants, I guess. So I was living in Pittsburgh at that time, and I just started dating my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, and I had never driven the drive from Pittsburgh down here to the Eastern Shore, and what I wanted to do was I wanted to make my way down here before going back to college for my senior year, I think it was, and I had, you know, like most college kids, was driving around kind of beater cars and whatnot, and over that summer, and actually probably a day or two before I was leaving to come back down here, I just acquired a brand new hot rod. I want to show you a picture of right now. There it is right there. So it's a 1994 Toyota Tercel. Man, it was a machine, let me tell you. Something. And yeah, probably is, yeah. So I got in the car. I moved all my stuff over from my old car to my new car and, you know, plugged in. This was in 2009. It was just on the edge of the, you know, cell phone era. So I still had a flip phone at that point. If you still have a flip phone here today, I feel you. I gotcha. So I had an old Garmin, like one of those square, huge Garmin GPSs, so I plugged in the address that I'd gotten, and I had only been down here once, and again, I had never made that drive before. And so I loaded up, and I headed east, and if you've ever driven a drive, either from Pittsburgh, Ohio, or whatever, to make your way down here to the Eastern Shore, you're on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and then you go through a little town called Breezewood, which you have to kind of get off the highway, you go through this little town, they have some Starbucks and some other things there, so I stopped, picked up what I needed, and kept on going. And about 30 minutes off of, you know, past Breezewood, I'm looking at my GPS to see what goes next, and all of a sudden, it just turns off. And I'm like, that's very bizarre. That's odd. And so I'm driving down the road and I'm pushing the button on top and trying to get it to work. And to no avail, could not get it to turn back on. So I found the next exit and pulled off, and it was a, you know, gas station. And so I'm sitting there fiddling with it and whatever. And, you know, the GPS would plug into a little cigarette lighter. And so I reached down and was jiggling it down there and just couldn't get it to work. So I was like, I wonder what the problem is. I wonder if my GPS died. And I was like, you know what, let me see if there's like maybe a power issue, maybe the power cord died. So I unplugged it and I had my flip phone and I had the little, you know, Verizon charger and plugged it in and plugged it into my cell phone. And usually, if you remember those old flip phones, they would buzz whenever you would connect them. So I plugged it in and nothing happened there. Flipped it open and it wasn't showing the charging signal. And all of a sudden in my brain, I was like, okay, I think that the cigarette lighter is dead. Therefore, my GPS, which was running on battery for 2.5 hours, is now dead. And at this point, mind you, I'm in college, so I have like $30 in my bank account. So I'm sitting there on the side of the road, have like, you know, half a tank of gas, and I'm like, okay, I'm starting to panic here. Like, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to turn around and go home. I can't do that. I need to get back to school and whatnot. I had a job, so I was like, I'll get some more money that way. And if I keep on going, that's another dangerous situation because I could end up, you know, maybe in Virginia Beach because you can go east, I guess, or I could end up on the dreaded beltways, maybe D.C. or Baltimore. And so I was really freaking out at that point. So I ended up calling Chelsea in a panic, and she went to the magical site, if you remember, MapQuest, and I pulled out a napkin and wrote down all of the directions on both sides of a napkin and, you know, felt like Magellan traversing through, you know, the different beltways, but finally made it across the bridge and thankfully, you know, overcame losing my way. But I'll tell you, you know, being young and, you know, more or less a kid, that situation was quite stress-inducing, and this is why. I had a plan and a way to execute that plan of where I wanted to go, and in an instant, the plan went out the window, and I found myself lost. And so here's kind of the idea today. Life is often like this. We have a plan in our head. We know where we want to go. We have expectations for how the plan is going to play out. Then something happens and things aren't so clear anymore. An event occurs that we weren't expecting, or we get news about something that we weren't anticipating, and that results in us feeling lost. So let me give you a few examples here. Maybe in your career, maybe you had an opportunity in your career and you were certain you were going to get that opportunity, but then someone else gets it, or your company gets acquired and everything you knew about it all of a sudden changes. Or maybe you're performing well and then you get that email or that note called into HR and said that you were laid off. What about your relationships? Dating relationship that you're sure was going to turn into marriage and it doesn't. Or your marriage started off great and time has significantly hurt it. Or maybe you made a good friend. Maybe you're like me, you're a come here person, and you make a good friend, and then all of a sudden that friend gets a job somewhere else and moves away. What about parenting? Where are the parents at in here? Yeah. You finally figure out your kid, right? And then they hit a certain age and you're like, I don't know. I don't know what to do now. I know that we've been there before. Your finances, you got a 5-year plan and unexpected bills hit, or you get some sort of debt against you, or you have this lead on a great investment. You're sure it's going to turn out really, really good, and it fails, and you lose tons of money. Where are my college students at, right? Any college students? So you change your major once, twice, three times, four times, five times, six times, and then finally you're like, yes, I finally found what I need, what I want to do with the rest of my life, and then you sit in that first class, and you're like, nope, I can't do this. Like, I need to change it one more time. Or maybe you just graduated from college, and you're like, man, I'm really excited. Those part-time jobs where I'm just doing things that I didn't want to do, that's over. Now I can get a job in my field, and then you can't find a job in your field, let alone a job at all. How about your health? You start to work out, you want to feel better, and so you finally get back into the gym, and things are going really well, and you know, you're in the gym one day, and you hurt yourself. Now you're out for 6 months while you recover. Or maybe you decide to improve your lifestyle, and all of a sudden you get that medical diagnosis, and improving your lifestyle all of a sudden turns into, I need to survive this somehow. So we can go on and on and on. And these situations, like many others, can leave us feeling very, very lost. So, as we start this Christmas series, if you're here today and you are feeling lost or you have felt lost in the past, I have good news for you. Jesus offers us something that can bring us some hope. So if you have your Bible with you, I would encourage you to open up to John chapter 14. If you don't have your Bible, that's completely fine. We'll have it up on the screen for you there. But as you're turning to John chapter 14, I just want to give you a little bit of context of what's going on here. So Jesus has been teaching and healing for about 3 years. And Jesus had these friends called disciples that he had called to follow him. Now, these disciples had left absolutely everything to follow him, their jobs, their family, their friends. And it had been worth it up to that point. They had experienced some miraculous miracles, some teachings, really, really good things. And they had these expectations for what their future was going to look like. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is with them during the Passover meal. We call this the Last Supper. Jesus at this point knows that his time is limited and that he'll soon be executed, but the disciples do not know this. They don't know that it is the Last Supper. And so during the Passover meal, Jesus is sharing with them and he's visibly troubled. And Jesus, in a moment, says a few things. First, he says he's not going to be with them any longer. He says he's leaving them. He says that they can't come with him. And he says that one of the disciples that is present with him will betray him. Now, this is obviously very pivotal because in a moment, their expectations of what everything was going to look like for the future are completely shot. And they find themselves in uncertainty and stress and anxiety, and they are completely at a loss. And so even so, Peter steps up, Peter, one of the disciples, and he says, no, this isn't going to happen. There's no way. I'll follow you anywhere, Jesus, even to death. And Jesus turns around and responds. It says in, you know, matter of a few hours, you're going to deny me 3 times. And so again, the situation is just completely dire at this point. And so here's what Jesus says, and I'll turn you to John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. This is his response. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way to where I'm going." "Lord," Thomas said, "we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus told them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you also know my Father. And from now on, you do know him, and you've seen him." So Jesus responds, He immediately recognizes that the news that he's just dropped on them has troubled them. And he provides insight to help them navigate how they're feeling, and he provides a solution for them. And so what Jesus says, and we'll walk through this kind of line by line here, Jesus says, believe in God, believe in me also. And there's likely some nuance missed here whenever we just read that. See, Jesus isn't telling them, you need to believe in two individuals. You've got God, you've got me. What Jesus is actually saying is, those individuals are one and the same. And what Jesus is doing here is, he's claiming to be God. He's telling them that recognizing this alone, this fact that he is God, can remediate a troubled heart. And it's a reminder of something from the beginning of John's gospel, back in John chapter 1 at the very beginning. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning. And jump ahead to verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. There's a super seminary word that I'll share with you, and that word is incarnation. And it means that God put on flesh and was present with humanity. And this is the whole point to the Christmas season. It's not just about a cute baby or Santa Claus or anything like that. It's that the Creator put on flesh, lived among us, and lived a perfect life so that he could save humanity. And what Jesus is saying is, if you want peace, simply acknowledging this fact is the way to that. But there's more. John chapter 14, verse 2 says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. So Jesus here, he's providing insight into where he's going. He says to prepare a place for them. What Jesus is saying here is that despite what's happening now and what's about to happen, there is a bigger purpose than what they know. And this is super, super important, because Jesus' news to them, just in this moment over this dinner, it has felt like complete chaos to them. Things would become increasingly chaotic in the hours to come as Jesus would go to the cross. But Jesus wants them to know that there's purpose. And there's intention in this. And that purpose is to prepare a place. And so the question is, what is this place that he's preparing? Well, Jesus doesn't really specify right here, but it's likely a reference to eternal life. Here's what we do know. It's illustrated as a house. That house has many rooms. And presumably these many rooms would be occupied by many people. But most importantly with all of it is that Jesus leaving was going to be temporary, and he would return to take them somewhere permanently. And it may feel random, but this will eventually be for their benefit. It's on purpose. There's a reason behind it. So we'll move on to verse 4. You know the way to where I'm going. Lord, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? So Jesus says something confusing kind of next. He says that they already know where he's going. And one disciple, Thomas, he speaks up and essentially says, Jesus, we have no idea what you're talking about here. The disciples are probably thinking back to a previous teaching or something that he had said either in public or in private. But Jesus isn't referring to a teaching, or he's not referring to an instruction or a roadmap or anything like that. Jesus is referring to something much more incarnational. On to verse 6, Jesus told him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you also know my Father. And from now on, you do know him, and you've seen him. See, Jesus' words here, all the way up to this point, but specifically in that moment, they all hinge on this one statement. The way to where he is going is not another teaching. It's not another plan. The way is a person, and that person is him. And this is so important because Jesus had spent many, many years teaching and being with them and healing people, but there's intention behind it all, and it's all wrapped up in this statement that Jesus is not some means to another end. Jesus himself is the end. He is the goal. So what the disciples ultimately need is not another teaching or instruction. It's incarnational. It's relational. It's him. It's God himself. So amidst the news that the disciples receive and all the chaos that would ensue, and this was just the beginning of it, and you can read on through the rest of John to know what happens there. But in the midst of all that, Jesus offers himself. He offers a relationship, not another teaching or a plan, but the opportunity to know him, the opportunity to know God personally in relationship. So what's kind of the point? I'm going to kind of tie it together here. And this is both for the disciples and for us. It's that when we feel lost, peace is found in a person, not a plan. When we feel lost, peace is found in a person, not a plan. There is likely a wide variety of people on the Christianity spectrum represented this morning. No matter where we fall, we're all kind of guilty of doing the same thing. And that is, when our original plans fall in our lives, we freak out and we go and look for a new plan. We solicit advice from other people. We seek guidance from what we read or listen to or watch. And it's not that these things are inherently bad. There's a place for them. But the problem is, if it is our primary way of achieving peace in our life, just getting a new plan, we're going to find that that is lacking. There is something that is available to us that is so much better. And it's not a something, it's a someone. It's a someone, and he's deeply connected to our human experience, and he knows what we need, and he knows that it's not a plan, it's a relationship, and it's a relationship with him. His presence is ultimately what leads to an untroubled heart. Back in 2019, I found myself in a brand new job. I had just started it. I had a major career change. It was a really busy year, 2019. My daughter was just born, and my wife and I had just started a small business and then invested a bunch of money into that. So all those things sort of happened at the end of 19, and then everybody knows what happened right there in 2020. COVID hit, and you know, the world kind of shut down, and I found myself, you know, after just starting this job a couple months earlier, unexpectedly laid off. And I didn't freak out right away because I was like, you know what? My wife still has a job. We have this business on the side. I have some time. I can, you know, maybe figure it out. And like most people during that time, I knew that unemployment was an option for me. And, you know, some people were getting it and making more money. So I was like, okay, well, maybe that'll work for me. So I didn't immediately get too panicked. So I ended up filing for unemployment. A couple weeks went by, and then, you know, went out to the mailbox. I didn't have much else to do. Pulled out the unemployment letter, and I was like, oh, I'm so excited for it. And I just got my first check, and so I opened it up, and I said, you know, pay to the order of Mike Steinsurfer, and then the amount was $0. And I was like, I was expecting a little bit more than that for my unemployment. But so there was a phone number on it, so he picked up the phone. I just needed some answers, like, what, maybe this was just the first check. Maybe the next one will be a little bit more. And so I call, and you get one of those automated attendants. Your call will be answered in 8 hours and 9 minutes. Okay, well, I'm not going to do that. So I stayed on for like 45 minutes. It's like, okay, that's not going to happen. So, you know, I did some research online and found out that the reason that it wasn't unintentional, that it was right, I was living in the state of Maryland at that point, but I found out through some research online that the reason it was $0 is because I didn't meet the requirement for having been at my job long enough for that, which was 6 months. And so I did the math a little bit, and I was like, okay, so you've been at the job for 5 months and 28 days. I literally missed it by like 2 or 3 days. And man, I'll tell you what, at that point, I started to freak out a little bit because I had this plan. I was ready for it. And then all of a sudden, I got a $0 check, which led to uncertainty and anxiety and stress. And I started to think of new plans to try to ease my troubled heart. And I remember in the kind of the chaos of those moments, having a specific time where I said to myself, I need to remember the Lord in this situation because he is not far off or disconnected from this. And so even though I had the plans, I said, you know what, I'm going to step back and I'm going to kind of lean into Jesus because I know that he's close. I know that he wants to walk me through this. And I'll tell you, being completely honest, there was a switch in my heart and in my spirit where all of a sudden kind of the wheels that were spinning, I was still thinking about things, but I found myself having peace and hope. And I'll be honest with you, the situation did not immediately get better. You know, I still was making those plans to get back to work, but those plans didn't calm my heart. What did calm my heart was Jesus' presence in the situation and me acknowledging that he was right there. And so the closer I stayed to Jesus throughout that process, the more peace I had. I have more to that story, and I'll kind of go on there. But when we feel lost, hope is found in a person, not a plan. That is where we find our hope. That's where we find our peace, in a person, not a plan. And so what's the practical side for us today? What do we do if we find ourselves in a situation where we're feeling lost? Let me give you kind of a few application points. The first one is this. When I feel lost, Jesus is the way to an untroubled heart. See, the way is a person. The way is not a plan, it's not a roadmap, it's not a teaching, it's incarnational, it's a person. Therefore, the goal in a relationship with this person is to get closer in that relationship. And we have to remember something super important. Jesus is not the means to some other end. He is the end in himself. He is peace itself. He is peace personified. And the closer we are to him by default, the more peace we will have. Our daughter just turned 5 years old, and for probably the last 2-3 years, it's kind of the same, you know, routine every single night. We put her to bed, we lay in bed with her till she falls asleep, and then she wakes up, comes out, and says, "Mommy, Daddy, I'm scared." It's completely not unusual. I know everybody else here who's a parent of young kids understands what that whole routine is like. But I want to point you to something, and you don't have to be in my house to know this. What my daughter does when she comes out to me, she doesn't say, "Dad, I'm scared, please take away my fears." She doesn't say, "Dad, I'm scared, please give me peace." What does she say? "Daddy, you just come lay with me? Will you just be close to me?" Why? Because when Dad's close, everything's fine. And there could be a whole bunch of stuff going on, but it doesn't matter to her. Just my presence being there, my wife's presence with her, that's all that really matters. As long as Dad is close, everything is going to be okay, and she'll be at complete peace. And so what's the point? This is exactly what Jesus offers to us. His presence, closeness, proximity. The God of the universe desires for you to have the same peace that is being described right here. He desires for you to reach out, to be close to him. He desires for you to be close to him, and he wants to be close to you. And when he is present, you can have complete peace, especially in the circumstances that make you feel lost. And so the goal then is to draw near, to draw close to the Lord, and he'll draw close to you. And so how do you draw close to the Lord? It's a question. Maybe for you, it's music or nature. Not that those things are bad, but there are two non-negotiables elsewhere in the scriptures, and one is his word, and the other is prayer. And so the scriptures are one big narrative about the person of Jesus, and he, through his word, can speak to us. And the old adage, if you're not hearing from the Lord, open up your Bible, that holds true. God wants to speak to us through his word. We also have prayer. Prayer is direct communication with God. We can speak and he'll hear us and he'll respond and he'll act. And a lot of times in our minds, we think of prayer as a chore or duty, but in reality, it's actually a gift. And so I'd ask this morning, where can you incorporate God's word and prayer more in your life? Church is great. I'm glad that you're here today, but church is once a week and feeling lost and needing peace occurs more than just Sunday. And so I would challenge you to find some time outside of Sunday to practice these disciplines, dedicated time in the scripture, reading the scriptures. And it doesn't have to be much. You can open up the YouVersion app. There's plans right there. It'll take you 5-10 minutes a day. I'm also a big fan when it comes to scriptures of redeeming the time. There's Bible apps out there that can actually read to you. So you think about it, you're driving down the road, if your job has you kind of going place to place, instead of listening to talk radio, listen to God's word. It's going to do better for you, I promise you. So redeem the time. Let God redeem that so that you can spend time with him in that way. And you could do that with prayer as well, but it's a gift that's afforded to us and he gives us. And so we experience peace when we're close to Jesus in these ways. And so when I feel lost, Jesus is the way to an untroubled heart. That's number one. Number two, when I feel lost, Jesus is the truth I need to fight confusion. See, we're all going to face situations that will appear to us to be dire and hopeless. And it's easy to fixate on that, but the truth is there is always something deeper at play. God always has purpose behind the scenes. See, in our scripture today, Jesus was leaving to prepare a place. Him leaving, this was very bad news to the disciples, but there was specific purpose behind it. I told you a story about being laid off with COVID. And in my story, there were foundations that God was laying in that time of chaos and confusion that was building for my future. A few weeks later, my employer brought me back and I got back to work, and I was super thankful that happened. And almost like clockwork, there was another position that opened up internally. I did some restructuring with other people they had laid off, and there was another position that had opened up. It was something I had never done before, and it would have been a major promotion, but I was looking at kind of the job description. I was like, I'd be really good at that. And so I ended up applying and interviewing, and come to find out I was offered the job. So it was a complete role reversal from where I was a few weeks ago. And that job led me into a position where I was able to make some connections that then led to another job where I ended up today. And I am 100% convinced that none of this would have happened had I not been laid off and all the things that went on with COVID. There was a series of positive events that all stemmed from this negative one. And I want to be really clear about something, because I don't want to misspeak about what I'm talking about here. It's not always about promotion. Sometimes God is just working things out. But the point is, God was working things out unbeknownst to me in the background, even though it didn't look right. And in the situations that you may be facing today, he's working things out even if we don't see it. See, Jesus told his disciples he was leaving to prepare a place. And there was purpose behind everything that was about to happen. And in the situations we face, the same holds true. And I want to be clear, it's not some cliche, everything happens for a reason. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is there is a God who has created the universe and saved us through his Son and cares about you, and he has the ability to intricately weave your story into his and take care of things, always. Romans 8:28, I feel like I always come back to this one. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. So, what does this mean for us? So, as we draw close to Jesus, there is a requirement of childlike faith. There are going to be times where it's not going to make sense, and you just have to trust. You have to listen. You have to obey. You have to surrender. See, Jesus followers are at times required to blindly trust without explanation, and it's got to be a conscious choice on our behalf. But when we make it, we will experience peace, because by default, we'll be getting ourselves closer to Jesus by trusting him. And God is always, always working on our behalf. So when I feel lost, Jesus is the truth I need to fight confusion. And last but certainly not least here, when I feel lost, Jesus is the life that brings hope. When I feel lost, Jesus is the life that brings hope. So Jesus is talking about preparing a place, right? So not only does Jesus want them to know that there is a purpose, Jesus wants them to know what the purpose is, that it's life and safety and relationship with him permanently, eternally, forever. See, what Jesus wants his disciples and us to experience is a perspective change. John 11, and this is a little bit of a callback here, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. So here's the perspective change. Death is the ultimate disruptor. It's the ultimate disruptor to our plans. And Jesus, in the scripture we read, he himself would soon die, but would be raised to life 3 days later, never to die again. Jesus was victorious over the ultimate disruptor, and Jesus invites his disciples to share in that victory. I love Christmas carols and Christmas stories. So in the Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, says this, mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn king. See, we may find ourselves feeling lost, but ultimately, Jesus has provided a path to eternal life for us, and that is through his death and through his resurrection, so that no matter what we go through, that cannot be taken away or lost or stolen. And that's how the story ends. Therefore, there can always be hope, no matter the situation we find ourselves in. And that hope far outweighs the situations we find ourselves in. One of my favorite scriptures of all time, 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." The hope that we have in Christ far outweighs anything that we would experience in this life. So what do? We draw near to Jesus in relationship. We allow our perspective to be changed to an eternal one. We put our trust in Jesus and what he's accomplished for us. And in the midst of the situations that we face, we continually return to him. We refuse to fixate on the how, and we choose to fixate on the who. And so maybe you're here this morning and that relationship with Jesus has not begun yet. Well, it begins with acknowledging who Jesus is. And it also requires that we acknowledge who we are. We're fallen humanity. We're marred by the effects of sin and choices, and we're subject to death, unable to be in relationship with God on our own. And this can be fixed by what Jesus did. He lived a perfect life. He never sinned, and he suffered and died in our place as a substitute. He overcame death and was raised to life. He's prepared a place for us where we can go and be with him forever, and he offers the opportunity to know him and to walk with him and be with him. And we are offered this by him and by his grace and by his mercy. And so if you're not in relationship with Jesus this morning, I would ask you, consider that. Consider that today. When we feel lost, peace is found in a person, not a plan. It's a person, not a plan. So the question for us today is, where do you find yourself in the message today? What situations come to mind that's caused confusion or anxiety or doubt? Jesus has a solution he presents to you. It's himself, a relationship with him. He's close, he's available. He desires for you to experience peace, not by providing you peace, but by being peace for you. And so my hope for you today is that you would just take a step towards Jesus. So this morning I ask you to stand with me. We're going to conclude in this way. If you're here today and you are a Christ follower, I'm going to ask that maybe you take the next few minutes. The worship team's going to come back up on the stage and lead us in some final songs here. But take the next few minutes as an opportunity to reflect and to pray. And as situations come to mind, maybe less of, "God, give me peace in this situation," and more, "Jesus, give me more of yourself. Help me to trust you, to see that there is a purpose. Help my perspective to be one that's eternal." And then see what happens, and I'll give you the spoiler alert. You'll have peace. You'll have peace. The Prince of Peace desires for you to have peace this Christmas. And as we kick off this series, you're going to hear week after week, we're just going to dive deeper and deeper here. And that's if you are following Christ this morning. If you have a relationship with Christ, that's kind of the instruction. But if you're here today and you're not really sure where you stand with Jesus, the good news is that everything that you need has already been accomplished by what Jesus has done. He's done the work necessary to bring you in a relationship with him. And so I'd encourage you today to do two simple things. The first thing is you're going to pray. You're like, "I never prayed before." Well, prayer is just talking to God. Have you talked before? You're good to go. It's going to be great. So you literally open your mouth and it's a simple prayer. "I acknowledge who I am. Jesus, I acknowledge who you are. I acknowledge what you've done for me on the cross. I want relationship with you." That's number one. The second thing that you do, tell somebody. You can come tell me after the service and tell any of the pastors, or you can tell the person who invited you. I'm sure they would be very pleased to hear that. But there's a lot of power in telling people what God is doing in your life. And that's just kind of step number one. This is just the beginning of something that will be forever. But remember, when we feel lost, peace is found in a person. It's not a plan. So what we need this morning is more of Jesus and less of a plan for our peace. So let's pray together, and then we'll go into that time of singing together. Father, this morning, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you're doing here amongst us in this church. And as we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us, we celebrate the incarnation of God putting on flesh and being in our midst. I pray that we would have hearts and attitudes and minds that are focused on you. And Lord, I know that it's very, very possible that there are a bunch of people who've walked in here with situations that are making them feel lost. And Lord, there's a time for planning and there's a time for trying to figure out what we're going to do next, but those plans are not going to bring us peace. They can't. But you can, and you offer it to us, and you want us to have peace. And so this morning, I pray for every person represented in this room that they would submit themselves to you, that they would draw close to you and not ask you for peace, but ask for more of you. And that your presence would bring a peace like maybe they've never experienced before. And that it would just be a taste of what they can experience throughout the rest of their lives, Lord. And I pray, just as I said a moment ago, help us to take one step towards you. Just one small step towards you today as we move closer to you this Christmas season. We pray it in Jesus' name.